out of sight.
Okay, I want to welcome everyone to the NLL Coaches and Players Media Conference call for Week 5 of the season. We have 5 games this weekend, including 2 on Friday night, first with the Minnesota Swarm at Buffalo Bears at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Before we talk about the games, quickly want to announce that the Pinty's Wingman of the Week for Week 4 goes to Colorado Mammoth Adam Jones, who had 10 points, including 6 assists in the Mammoth undefeated season so far. With that being said, we're going to talk about the games for this weekend. We're talking Minnesota at Buffalo. We have Swarm assistant coach Amy Keynes on the line, as well as Band assistant coach Dan Teague. Teeter, we'll start with you. I guess just kind of take us through a competitive, tough loss in Toronto. Obviously, pretty hard fought, and came up short at the end there.
Yeah, I think it was one of those games where Toronto came out with a lot of emotion. And it was a big night for them on their opening night with honoring T's passing and stuff. So. I imagine they had a lot behind them when they were doing that. And as far as our team goes, I think we looked at it and thought that, we had a help in beating ourselves, so to speak. You know, when you're minus 4 on special teams, that's a tough time to have that happen to you. But, it's stuff that we worked on in practice. And if we're positive at all in the special teams, then, we win that game by 2. So I think it's something that we've got to work on and just get better for. And, every team in the league is that good, so you can't have those minus 4 on special team nights.
Thanks, Dan. And just kind of touch on coming back here in Buffalo here. Obviously, the Bands have been away from home for quite some time. It's got to be good to get back at First Niagara Center and get the fans behind the team.
Well, I think so. It's going to be nice to be back in Bantland. And with the crowd we get, you can call it a 12th man or however you want to phrase it. But, our fans get behind the team pretty good. And we're excited to get back there. We've been away since basically our home opener. So it'll be nice there, and we're excited to get back at it.
Thanks, Dan. Bounce back over to the Swarm. We have assistant coach Amy Keynes. Amy, first, just kind of bring us through a huge road win over the previously undefeated Black Wolves. It seems like the Swarm are really trending in the right direction.
Yeah, we got off to a good start on Saturday night, and kind of kept rolling. I think offense has really started to click, and our power play had struggled the first 2 games, and we went 50%. So. Everything's starting to really click. The D kind of tightened it up, and we're getting good goaltending from Higgy. But, there's a lot of things that we need to tighten up and fix. There's a lot of mental mistakes in that game watching the film, and, we look to be better against Buffalo.
Thanks, Amy. And obviously, the Swarm had success against the Bandits last year at home with a couple close victories. But talk a little bit about going into Buffalo here. It's been a tough place to get a win, especially for the Swarm in recent years.
Yeah, it's always a tough place to play, and I think Dan nailed it with the fans, and it's a hard place to play. It's one of probably the hardest places in the National Lacrosse League. So us going in there, we're going to have family and friends at the game, and hopefully, we can get off to a good start and weather that storm. It always seems to, that first quarter is, really tough to get, get the crowd kind of mellowed out and try to get some goals and put the momentum our way. So, we're looking forward to it, and we're preparing all week, so it should be a good one.
Thanks, Amy. At this point, we need a little player perspective. We have Swarm forward Shane Jackson on the call. Shane, I guess just bring us through an offensive outburst for the Swarm, 19 goals, a big finish in Edmonton the week before. Just kind of talk about what's clicking for the Swarm offense.
Yeah, so far it's been the past 2 games have been going, well. It's, we're all just moving the ball. We're all just playing really unselfish right now. So it's been going in for us so far. So hopefully we can keep it going in Buffalo.
Thanks, Shane. And what have you seen out of the Bandits so far? Obviously, they're a team with Anthony Cosmo in that, a strong defense. What are you guys looking to do and implement with your systems this weekend?
Well, to be honest, we just, we got to get them moving. They got a big, strong defense, and like you said, and with Cosmo, they got a great goaltender. So we're going to have to work hard and, just play together. We're going to have to stay the course for the full 60 minutes, and hopefully we can come up with a W.
Okay, thanks, Shane. We're going to quickly check in to see, do we have a Bandits player, Mitch Wild, on the call?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks, Mitch. Peter kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but just talk about what it means to be getting back back at home. Obviously, it's been kind of an up-and-down season for the band so far, although still very early. What's it going to be like to kind of get that kind of support and, in a league where one goal makes all the difference, is it going to bring that extra energy to the team?
I think for us, it's just an exciting feeling to get home back in our comfort zone. You got to get a little excited. They got the superhero night going that night, so just a little something for the fans to get up for. And for us, it's just it's good to get home and play in front of them, and back at home too. And where we need to start getting wins and all that.
Okay, thanks, Mitch. At this point, we're going to open up for questions from the media. Again, we have Dan Teed and Mitch Wild on from the Bandits, and Amy Keynes and Shane Jackson on from the Swarm.
Hi, it's Bud Bailey at the Buffalo News. Dan, doing a story on Jay Thornburgh. Right now, he's leading the league in loose balls and I think tied for first in faceoff wins. Is he playing as well as you've ever seen him play? Is he kind of peaking at this point?
I think so. I think one of the things with Jay is, for the past 3 or 4 years, we've had full confidence in Jay, and I think he's just kind of got to the point now where his timing and, his strength on drop balls is just, it's at its best right now. And, once you've got the time back, and I'm all obviously guessing, not being a draw man, but when you can match the timing to the referee's whistle, the advantage that you end up with is probably, greater than people imagine. But I think the biggest key with Jay, too, is he's able to keep the ball himself and run out of trouble with his speed. And, it's a bonus. And, when guys have played for teams that didn't have a face-off guy, they don't realize how valuable that ball is until, you're getting it after just about every draw. And right now, we think Jay's the best in the league. And so far this year, he's proven it. And I think he's been on the positive percentage of every game we've played so far.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan, and thanks for that question, Bud. We'll keep it open for more questions.
Hi, Shane Jackson. This is Bob Chavez with Mail Indoor. Going back to last year, there was some talk about, with the trade of Ryan, the production needed to be stepped up on the left side a bit. But this year, your numbers are off to a really good start. Are you feeling the pressure, or do you feel that role to step in and provide that production from the left side to help balance things out?
Maybe a little bit, but to be honest, I just focus on playing as a full offensive unit. It's not going to be one guy each shift, putting the team on his back. We got to all work together, and that's just what I've tried to work on this year, is just come out and, be a good teammate and, just get the chemistry going throughout all the offensive guys.
Okay, thanks, Shane. Thanks, Bob. Keep them for more questions.
Steve Bermel with NLL.com for Dan Teed. Obviously, we know how tight the league is with the 9 teams and 5 in the East Division, and 2 big divisional games this weekend, obviously. And it's obviously early, but a good weekend could be a very good thing for the standings, and a bad weekend could have you guys looking up at pretty much the whole division. So obviously the goal is to win both, but an important weekend, maybe the most important weekend yet.
100%. I think that, as a group, we do not want to look past Minnesota on Friday. If you look past a team like Minnesota, then you're in for a real long night on Friday night. But, we're 0-1 against the East, and or 2-1 against the West, and 0-1 against the East, I guess, or 0-2 against the East, sorry. So these are games that we actually, we feel that we need, and we've got to get a step on some of the teams. And if we can take advantage of this weekend and get ourselves on the plus side of a record at home and a plus side on an Eastern week, and then it's going to be key for us. And it's going to come down to the wire, so you want to take advantage of these games, especially the ones that you have at home. So if we can take advantage of the home game, then we feel we're going to be in a better place at the end of the year. But with the 5 East teams and the standings that are going to be so tight, nobody's running away with this. So it's going to be one of those ones where you don't get those games back that you wish you had, so you want to make sure that you can take advantage of them every time you do.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you for that question, Steve. We still have another couple minutes here. A reminder that the Bandits will be staying on for the next segment as well as they travel to Rochester on Saturday night.
Question for Amy Keynes, Bob Chavez, and Isle Indoor. 20 goals in the first game allowed and then 23 in the last 2 combined. What's working now on defense that wasn't in the opener?
I really think his confidence, I think when Higgy came in that Edmonton game and kind of sparked our defense to, you never want to see a goalie get pulled, and it wasn't, Brody's fault at all. So I think the D really realized they needed to step up after that, and then they've tightened it up and been playing really aggressive and playing in our system, not trying to do too much and just playing it within that system, and they've been doing a great job. There's parts where they can get better, and, watching the New England game, there are some things we need to tighten up, but overall, we're pretty happy right now, and going into Buffalo, we just want to kind of roll with that.
Thanks, guys. Do we have any final questions for Minnesota at Buffalo? All right. I want to thank both Amy Keynes and Shane Jackson from the Swarm for jumping on the call. Guys, good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you again next time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
All right, moving along here, we're going to talk the Buffalo Bandits at Rochester Nighthawks, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday night. We have Bandits GM Steve Dietrich, Bandits assistant coach Dan Teat on the call, along with forward Mitch Wild, transition player rather, sorry. and also, we're going to check in to see if we have Nighthawks head coach Mike Hazen on the call.
Hi, I'm here, Jeff. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. And do we have Nighthawks defenseman Paul Dawson? Okay, so waiting on Paul. I guess, Mike, we'll start with you. Just take us through, obviously, a tough start for the Nighthawks, but, rebounded quite well with the win against Toronto last week.
Yeah, it was, it was a very good rebound for us. It was a tight game, and we had to grind it out, and I think everybody on the floor there, it would be nice to get a few more goals in there, but it was two great defenses, two great goalies, and everybody had chances offensively. I just think the other two units were both exceptional both ways around.
Thanks, Mike. And you mentioned the defensive game. It was a 8-6, really low scoring first half. Just is that the kind of thing that the Nighthawks prefer? Just sort of a kind of a defensive low scoring game. Is that kind of what you guys aim for?
We love to see a few more goals go the other way and get the net and get the offense clicking nice and early. But it was just one of those games. Both teams were grinding. They were doing whatever it took, to battle for those loose balls and retain possession. It was just one of those nights where defenses stole the show a bit.
Watch the engine.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. And, Mike, just talk a little bit about, obviously the course of the schedule just had Toronto at the Blue Cross Arena for the first two games. It must be nice to get a different opponent in there, and, who better than Rochester's rival in Buffalo?
Yeah, most definitely. It's like I say, you grind one out in Toronto, you're going to have to grind one out against Buffalo. It's going to be another tough weekend, another tough game. No matter what they're doing the night before, when Buffalo comes to town, it's always a great place to play in the Blue Cross. And it's going to be a tough battle right from the get-go.
Okay, thanks, Mike. We're going to jump back over to the Bandits. We have assistant coach Dan Teat. Teeter, obviously not looking past Minnesota on Friday night, but, a big test going into Rochester, a place where, the Bandits fell just short in the East Division Finals last year. Just talk a little bit about going back to the BCA.
Well, like Hazer talked about, the rivalry is always there, and any time that, those teams get together, whether it's in Rochester or Buffalo, you're in for a battle, and it's one of those, it's a heated battle, and it's a rivalry that's been around since, 96 or 97. So it's one of those things that we look at it, and you can look at, us losing by a goal last year in the mini game or whatever you want to look at it, the aspects of your own game. The other fact of the matter is we're playing the three-time defending champs, and anytime you get a chance to, have a battle with them, and it's a measuring stick. They're the best team in the league for the last 3 years for a whole bunch of reasons, and it's basically because they've got the best, well-rounded group all together. So it's a measuring stick, and it's early enough in the season that you can kind of find your way about you, and we know each other's systems. We're not going to surprise each other, so it's, who plays better that night, and we want to try and see if we can come on top of that.
Thanks, Dan. And we also have Bandits transition player Mitch Wild on the call. Mitch, just kind of talk about, heading into Rochester here. The Bandits had success in their first weekend when they traveled on the road in the first game and then came home and defeated Edmonton. Is there a little bit of a benefit to kind of getting a tune-up the night before?
I think just overall the biggest focus is the game Friday, and you know when you go into Saturday, you know after what happened in Rochester last year at the Blue Cross, you know it won't take a lot for guys to really you know light a spark, you know especially after the way the season ended last year. So you know it's definitely you know Friday's a big focus. You know it's going to be a light road trip, which is definitely convenient for us overall, but. You know, when it comes to a Saturday, I don't think it'll take a lot of guys to not get too motivated. And as for the game Friday, I think it is a benefit. I mean, you know, we'll have the legs all warm, ready to go, and, you know, hopefully we can deliver the same on Saturday as well.
And, Mitch, just touch on, if you would, the incredible atmosphere for Buffalo and Rochester games, especially in at the BCA, you know, kind of a lower roof. It just seems like it's loud back and forth every play. It's pretty unique, and it seems like it's one of the you know best venue you know matchup to play in.
Yeah, without a doubt, and the fact that we can have fans travel from Buffalo to Rochester, you know, we have the utmost respect for that, and you know, it doesn't go unnoticed. And you know, to be honest, it does get you going. You know, noticing that early in the year last year when you know I wasn't in the lineup, but then being in there, you know, it's definitely one of the environments you'd want to be in and play in, and it should be an exciting Saturday night.
Okay, thanks, Mitch. Before we remember questions, just going to quickly check in to see, do we have Nighthawks defenseman Paul Dawson on the call now?
I know
we might not get Paul, but
he's calling in, right?
Okay, well, we'll open up for questions, and then we'll bring it back to Paul in a minute or so. So with that being said, we'll open it up for questions from the media.
Hi, Bud Bailey in Buffalo again. Dan, how's John Tavares doing? Is he going to play this weekend?
He was getting some treatment at practice, so we're kind of a day by day right now. He got a little bit of a calf strain, I guess, or a lower hamstring strain. We'll know more after he gets a couple more treatments done, and he gets to warm up on Friday morning, and we'll see how he goes from there.
Thanks. Okay, thanks, guys. And I think we had a couple people join the call. Do we have Paul Dawson on now?
Yes, Paul Dawson.
Hey, Paul. Paul, Coach Hazen kind of touched on it. You know, a big defensive battle win. You know, he said he might, you know, want a couple more goals out of the Nighthawks. But, you know, with you being a defenseman, you had to have been happy to allow, you know, a high-powered Toronto team to only 6 goals last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of had our struggles earlier on in the first 2 games. So anytime you can come back and settle down and keep any team to 6 is great, but especially a conference rival. So we were pretty happy with it. Still got a lot of work to do, but yeah, we were definitely happy with the game we played on Saturday.
Thanks, Paul. Speaking of you know, a rival here, you got Buffalo coming in. It's never hard to get up for a game with you know, such a packed house and a loud crowd.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always great playing Buffalo. I mean, they bring a lot of fans to our barn, and we bring a lot of fans to theirs, so you know, it's going to be a great game. They're coming in hungry. We still got to work on things, so I think it's going to be a great game. It's that rivalry of the I-90, so we're looking forward to it.
All right, thanks, Paul. We're going to keep it open for further questions. Again, we have Dan Teed and Mitch Wild on from the Bandits, and Mike Hazen called off from the Nighthawks.
Coach
Hazen,
this is Bob Chavez, Wild Indoor. You mentioned earlier about wanting to get some more goals. What do you think the problem is there right now? Is it not having Johnny Paulus in the lineup? Are other guys still trying to find their roles to fill that gap, or what is something else the problem?
No, I think you know it's guys getting used to each other. It's going to take some time. Like I say, Jordan's a totally different player than what Johnny was. But it's not about guys that are there. It's guys just like I say coming in and, like I say, getting on the same page a little bit. You know, we have moments. We have lots of moments early. I think the last game there, like I say, I think all credit goes to, you know, why we didn't get so many was Toronto's D and B. Miller. B. made a lot of great saves, and he kind of got us frustrated early. The good thing about it, at the end of the day, we stuck with our principles offensively, and we buried on our chances late to put it through. So that's the one good thing. But it's it's a work in progress. It always is. That's what this league is, from game in, game out. You just find your way, so you're playing your best across, hopefully, you know, come in April.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Thanks, Mike. And I think, Steve, you had a question as well.
Yes, Steve from NLL.com for Mitch Wild. Last week after the game, Kevin Brunell talked about how in the first half you guys were really able to get sticks to hands against Toronto, and he felt like in the second half that didn't happen as much. And going forward, how do you guys keep up the energy on transition and defense to make sure that in the second half you guys don't get tired out and you're able to keep getting sticks to hands throughout the whole game?
I think it all starts with, discipline overall, as a team, staying out of the penalty box. I know we're leading the league right now in penalties. So I think from a standpoint, it comes down to rhythm and staying within the system. And, that can be affected by taking so many penalties. So I think the biggest thing for us is going to be discipline. And, 5-on-5 defense, I like what I see so far from our team. And I know our coaching staff has as well. So I think it all starts there. And I think it was addressed last night in practice. And it'll be ready to go on Friday.
Okay, thanks, guys. We still have another couple minutes here, so we'll keep it open for more questions for Buffalo at Rochester.
Coach Hazen, could tell us when Steve Keogh would be available? Why hasn't he played? What's his status?
Keogh's right now is still day-to-day. He's bumped up from the summer, and we're just making sure that he's 100% ready to go. So he's, he's receiving treatments daily, and as soon as he's good to go, he's going to be in there, no doubt.
Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Mike. Thank you for that question. Neil, do we have any final questions for Buffalo at Rochester?
Hi, this is Jeremy Pike from NLL.com. Question for Paul Dawson. On Saturday night, your defense was extremely good, forced a lot of shot clock violations, forced multiple loose balls on passes, turnovers. What was the key Saturday night in that performance, and what can you guys do to keep repeating that performance going forward?
The key is playing the defense that we want to play. I think in the first two games, the last half in Toronto, we got away from it, and then in New England, it kind of just got away from us. But we have a system in place where we play as a unit, and I think in the first couple of games we were just trying to do too much and playing outside of our comfort zone. So as a man, we kind of sat down, we fixed our kinks, and on Saturday we put a whole 60 minutes together, and got back to our systems, which is playing big, solid, tough lacrosse. And the 30-second violations, that's something we strive to do. We try and limit teams to shots, and we don't really try and force strips or anything. We try and let teams run themselves out of time. So as a group, we just got back to playing how we played the last couple of years, and that's just big, strong, solid D and keeping guys to the outside and letting VC outside shots. So I think that was the key on Saturday, and that's going to be the key moving forward to success for us as a D group.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Jeremy. Do you have any final questions for Bannon and Nighthawks? Okay, I want to thank both the Buffalo and Rochester players and coaches for jumping on the call here, guys. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, next up on the NLL Week 5 Coaches and Players Media Conference call schedule, we're going to talk the New England Black Wolves at Edmonton Rush, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday night. We'll quickly check in to see if we have players and coaches from both sides. Do we have Black Wolves head coach Blaine Harris?
I'm here.
Thanks, Blaine. And do we have Black Wolves defenseman Craig England?
Yep, I'm here.
Thanks, Craig. And do we have Rush general manager and head coach Derek Keenan?
Yeah, I'm on.
Thanks, Derek. And do we have Rush forward Mark Matthews?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. Blaine, I guess we'll start with you. Just talk about, a tough loss to Minnesota at home, but, a chance to get on the road here for the team's first away game and head into Edmonton here.
I don't think we handled the bye week very well. We had some obvious, well-publicized early success that it's always nice to get, but sometimes it's dangerous to get. And then we get into a bye week and then come back, and I really felt that that hurt us, especially mentally, and, you know, some of the goals that we gave up against Mini. You know, we were expecting to see transition. We were expecting to see a little bit of pressure, and you know, quite honestly, I didn't think we responded very well, especially to Tranny, and gave up a number of goals that, you know, as you look back on the tape, you go, wow, we could have probably eliminated most, if not all of them. But it is what it is. We have a great opportunity to regroup and get right back on the saddle this weekend.
Thanks, Glenn. Just talk a little bit about heading into Rexall Place. Obviously, you know, the Rush had such a great year last season and had a slow start, but really rebounded in Calgary this past weekend. Just talk about the challenges of facing, you know, a Rush defense like the one that they boast.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, that Derek always has his team well prepared, and they're a very strong team. They have a very good defensive unit, solid goaltending, and I really like the offense. They've got multiple sticks that can put the ball in the net. They swing it very well, and it's going to be, you know, it's really going to be a challenge for our defensive unit to see how really good we are to be able to match them in that that effort.
Thanks, Blaine. Jump back over to the Rush. We have general manager and head coach Derek Keenan. Derek, I guess first just touch on, you know, it had to have been an emotional night getting back behind the bench and getting a huge win for the team and I guess another rival in Calgary.
Yeah, it was nice to get back and be with the team, and I thought the guys responded really well. It was, you know, two teams going in 0-2 and someone was going to come out of there 0-3. We were just thankful it wasn't us. I thought we played well, and I thought we played a little more relaxed than we had the previous couple of weeks, and I think that helped us, and I thought we put together a pretty good performance.
Thanks, Derek. And looking at a Black Wolves team here, obviously, you know, they've gotten off to a good start, and, you know, they're coming on the road for the first time. Just talk a little bit about how you're preparing for New England this weekend.
From what I see, they're really good. You know, they got tons of speed and size and skill on offense, and their back end is big. They move well. They move the ball up the floor well. Kirk's played really well for them, so they're 2-1. We're 1-2, and I think both deservedly so. So we'll have to be prepared for our best this weekend.
Okay, thanks, Derek. We're going to get a little player perspective from both sides. We have Rush forward Mark Matthews on the call. Mark. Just take us through, you know, a big night for the Rush at the Saddle Dome last weekend, and a big night for you too as you piled up the points. Just kind of talk about, you know, what it felt like to finally break through and get a win.
Yeah, it's nice to, you know, get in the win column, obviously, especially in a place like Calgary. It's, you know, it's probably one of the best places to play lacrosse, I'd say, at this point. And when you're playing in there and you get a big win against a great Calgary team, it boasts a lot of confidence for us. And, you know, our offense finally was able to get over 10 and kind of get the ball rolling for us as an offense moving forward, and we're just hoping to do that again in the weeks to follow.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Jump back over to the Blackwoods. We had defenseman Craig England. Craig, I guess, you know, we've touched on this the last couple of weeks, but it's been such a strong, encouraging start for the Blackwoods and, you know, a big road test here in Edmonton. Just talk about the mentality of the team finally getting on the road.
We you know, this is a big one, a big test for us. Obviously, we started off 3 games at home, which was nice for us to get a start. But again, like you said, it's a big test for us. We're going against a good team here in Edmonton, and something that we gotta live up to. You know, this is gonna be like you said, a big test for us, and hopefully, you know, I think we're ready for this challenge. And it's gonna be a good one for sure.
Okay, thanks, Craig. At this point, we're going to open up for questions from the media. Again, we have Blaine Harrison and Craig England on from the Black Wolves, and Derek Keenan and Mark Matthews on from the Rush.
Hi, I have one for Derek Keenan and Mike Wilson from NLL.com. I just wanted to know if you have an update on Jeff Cornwall, who seemed to be injured in last week's game in the shoulder.
Yeah, we don't have final results yet on his how he's going to be, but so we're not quite sure on this weekend yet. But I don't think it's anything really serious. Whether he'll miss any time or not is still to be determined.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Mike. We'll keep it open for further questions.
Alyssa McLaughlin for NLL.com. Coach for Blaine. Question for Coach Harrison. You know, you guys talked about, you know, it's your first loss and you're jumping on the road less than a week after you lost. Is there that mentality of, you know, having to get right back on the horse and kind of erase the loss, or just trying to learn from the loss in the next game?
I think it's a combination of all of that, really. You always have to learn from your failures. It always seems to be the best teacher. So collectively, we'll learn from our mistakes. We'll clean up some things that we feel we need to clean up. Hopefully be better for it. But yeah, I mean, to get, you know, a short week in most cases is probably not ideal, but I think for us, a short week, coming back and playing on a Friday night is probably the best thing for us to get right back at it and try to eliminate some of those things that we committed on last Saturday night.
Okay, thanks, Pauline, and thank you for that question, Melissa. We'll keep it open for more questions for New England at Edmonton.
Derek Keenan, this is Bob Chavez from Mile Indoor. Last week, Jeff, I think it was Jeff who was on the call, McComb, said on offense, you guys needed to see some more aggression and some more physical play as far as just getting in there and clearing up space and stuff like that. Did you see that last week against Calgary?
Yeah, I did, no question. I thought Riley Lowen and Jared Davis were the two biggest contributors in that area, and they created a lot of space for their teammates and also had some results with scoring themselves. So I thought we were. I thought we played harder through the middle. I thought we ran into offensive sets harder and with a little more passion, and we played more physical in our pick game than we had in the previous 2 weeks. So I think it was mission accomplished in that area for sure.
Okay, thanks, guys. We'll keep it open for more questions.
Derek, your offense exploded last week, and you just talked about the physicality. Is that what you think produced the results that you wanted last week?
I think it was part of it. I thought we moved the ball really well. I thought we shot the ball well. We had some goals that were outside goals, but they were very well placed, I thought, and they're not always easy to save when shooting around screens and things like that. So I thought some of our guys did a good job with that, and you know, I think our power play can still be a little bit better. We put up 16, I guess, and I think that's a big improvement. So we'll look to continue to build on that this weekend.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Mike. I'm going to throw one over here to Blaine Harrison. Blaine, talk about the play of Kevin Buchanan. Here's a guy who was out of the league, came back this year, and he seems to be improving each and every game, and threw up 9 points with 5 goals in this past weekend as well.
Yeah, Kevin Buchanan is someone that we've had with us a couple years ago, and through very well publicized reasons decided to take last year off. He was always on our radar screen, and I know him, kind of as an individual away from the floor. So I have a nice relationship with Kevin. So we've stayed in touch, and when the season came around, and we were looking at a couple of holes to fill, and Brendan Mundorf was not ready to come back, and Garrett Full had to fulfill some U.S. military obligations, I reached out to Kevin to see if he wanted to come back, and he did, and we're glad that he did. And, Kevin's got some really good skill set. I think he's very quick off the dribble, first step quickness, can drive the middle, and he has a pretty decent shot when he gets his hands free. So the nice thing with Kevin is, and I think he'd be the first to tell you, is he's got a lot of room to improve and learn the game. So, as much as he wants to put into this game down the road, he can just get better and better. But certainly a team that we would all probably agree there's no definitive number one lefty. It's nice, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, nice to have, I'm okay with three guys scoring two. I don't need to have one guy scoring six. But if one guy does, that's, so much the better.
Thanks, Blaine. And on that same note of a new player making a difference, we have Russian on manager head coach Derek Keenan. Derek, just touch on the play of Ben McIntosh, obviously a first overall pick. Maybe some pressure coming with that, but it seems like he's really embraced his role on the team.
Yeah, I think he's been really good. In fact, I think he's been probably our most consistent offensive guy, and that's a lot said for a rookie. But he's got a lot of experience, too. He's played a couple of years of senior A lacrosse out west, and obviously 4 years of NCAA lacrosse, so a lot of experience under his belt. But I think he's got a little more to his game than I thought he did. I think he's pretty athletic and he's strong and he takes care of transition going back the other way as well, and he's very responsible. So, and he's got a pretty quick set of hands down low and an ever improving mid-range game as well. So we certainly like everything we see in him. He's a real buy-in kid, and he's learned the system quickly, and I just see continued improvement in him for sure going forward.
Okay, thanks, Derek. Do we have any final questions for New England at Edmonton? Okay, I want to thank the players and coaches from both the Black Wolves and Rush for jumping on the call here, guys. It's a pleasure as always, and we'll talk to you again next time.
All right, very good, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, next up on the NLL Week 5 Coaches and Players Media Conference call schedule, we're going to talk the Calgary Roughnecks at Toronto Rock, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday night. Check in to see if we have representatives from both teams. Do we have Roughnecks General Manager Mike Ford on the call?
You do. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Mike. Thanks for jumping on here. Nice to have you in the mix, get a little different perspective. We're going to check in to see if we have Rock Head Coach John Lovell.
Yes, I'm here, Jeff.
Thanks, John. And checking to see if we have a couple players, and we're going to see if we have Rock forward Josh Sanderson on the call. Okay, still waiting on Josh. Do we have Roughnecks forward Sean Evans? All right, well, we're still waiting on the players. We can talk to Mike and to John here. Mike, we'll start with you. You know, an 0-3 start is, you know, kind of a surprise for a lot of people in the league. But, you know, the silver lining is it's still very early and, you know, a chance to kind of make things right starting with a big game in Toronto this weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think, I mean, obviously 0-3 is not where we wanted to start things out. But, you know, I think we've gotten what we've deserved. I don't think we've been as good as we can be. And you know, we've got some things to tidy up before we go in for a tough game against Toronto this weekend.
Thanks, Mike. And just talk about, you know, going into Toronto. Obviously, they had success at their home opener. It's always always nice to see two Canadian teams kind of get under the lights on Saturday night and go at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good going into Toronto to play. It's, you know, we've got a lot of players from that around that area. So, you know, there's a little bit of a they get to see some of their family and things like that. So those are always good trips and playing in front of their family. And you know, it's a tough building to play in. And you know, we're looking forward to the challenge. It's one of those ones that you mark on your calendar and say, this is the Toronto weekend. So we're looking forward to it very much.
Great, thanks, Mike. Jump back over to the Rock. We have head coach John Lovell. John, I guess an up and down weekend for the Rock, an emotional win at home, you know, honoring Terry Sanderson, you know, great team win against Buffalo. And then, you know, you guys were right back at it the next night. And another great game, defensive battle in Rochester. Just kind of take us through the weekend and what you kind of drew out of it.
Well, Jeff, it was an emotional weekend. Certainly we started with Buffalo. But it was, as you said, it was a great team win. We rallied around it pretty well. You know, I thought we played better in Rochester the next night. It was one of our best efforts of the season. It wasn't the result that we wanted, but our guys played hard and gave ourselves a chance to win. But at the end of the day, we just, you know, couldn't get it done. Rochester's a solid team, and it was just a matter of time till they came up with one of their efforts like they did, and we just couldn't match it.
Thanks, John. And just talk a little bit about a Calgary team coming in here. You know, the same way that kind of Rochester had their backs up against the wall looking for their first win, you have the same deal with Calgary, albeit, you know, at your barn. Just talk about kind of matching that energy that Calgary's sure to put out there this weekend.
Well, I believe Calgary is still one of the best teams. I know they're not off to the best of starts, but, you know, when I've watched their games, and they have times when they look like a very dominating team, and then other times they run into problems, just like most other teams. But we know they're well coached. They've got great offensive players. some of the best in the league, and they're always sound defensively. So we know it's going to be very difficult, and you know, it's as much as they're 0-3. We always worry about that so-called wounded animal coming into your building here, and they need to win badly. So we know that they're going to be putting their best foot forward here, and we have to be ready.
Thanks, John. Before we open up for questions, just quickly check in to see if we have our players on the call. Do we have Roughneck forward Sean Evans?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks, Evie. Sean, just kind of talk about, you know, obviously a big game coming up down the pipe here. You know, rough start for the Roughneck so far, but is there a sense that, you know, this is a veteran group and no need to hit the panic button this early in the season?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know 0-3. It's not the start we wanted. I think none of us knew that we'd be in this position, but we are. But we are a veteran group, and you know, I think we're going to respond well. You know, I know this is a huge game for us. No game in this league is easy. You know, going into Toronto, who's 3-1, is going to be a tough game. So we got to be ready, and we got to be ready to leave everything on the line and get our first win.
Thanks, Sean. And you being, you know, an Ontario guy like so many others, it's never hard to get up for a game at the Air Canada Centre in Toronto, eh?
No, it's not. You know, it is nice to have a home game as I'm, you know, not really traveling out west. But it's going to be good. You know, I got to be ready. I don't want to get too distracted on this game as it's a huge game for us. So, you know, I'm going to do everything under my power to get everything done early and to be ready and focused for this upcoming game against Toronto.
Okay, thanks, Sean. I'll quickly check in to see, do we have Josh Anderson on the call? Okay, still waiting on Shooter, but in the meantime, we're going to open up for questions. We have Mike Ford and Sean Evans on from the Roughnecks and John Lovell on from the Rock.
Hey, this is Justin Ellison from the NLL.com. It's a question for John Lovell. You mentioned Rochester was one of the best efforts of the season. What did you like about that game specifically in comparison to Buffalo game the night before? You know, you did get the win, but I remember you saying there were a couple things you wanted to tighten up.
I didn't hear all of that, but I think, you know, against Buffalo, there was a lot of sloppy play there. And against Rochester, I thought we played a, you know, a great defensive game and got strong goaltending. You know, and when you're playing back-to-backs, all teams have to go through it. And I just thought that we, you know, we kind of took it a shift at a time, and you know, we're able to stay in the game. So I just liked our overall effort, and as I said, at the end, it just wasn't good enough.
And just a follow-up to that, it's got to feel good that you got two good efforts from your good goaltenders on that weekend as well.
Yeah, it was great. Really happy for Nick Rose to get his first game in this season, and he played really, really well. And then followed that by Brandon Miller, who was probably Brandon's best game of the season by far. So, you know, glad that we have two goalies going at the same time here, and so that's a plus for our team for sure.
Thanks, John.
Okay, thanks, John. Thank you for those questions. Justin, we'll keep it open for more questions for Calgary at Toronto on Saturday night.
Did Mr. Borg tell us the status of Daryl Veltman and whether he'd be making the trip?
Yes, he will be making the trip. He had some family commitments last weekend, so he will be back on the roster this weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mike, and thank you for that question. Neil, we'll keep it open for more questions.
Yeah, Mike, this is Bob Chavez from Mile Indoor. Kind of a two-part question here. Obviously, the big question for Calgary, obviously, is the defense in the back end. What are you guys seeing there when you look back and try to assess what's going on there? And I guess the second part is, you know, if that doesn't get itself fixed, how much longer do you go before you start making some big moves or big changes?
Well, I'll go the first one first, I guess. I mean, honestly, we've just got to tighten some things up. On the back end, I think we've shown stretches where we've been very good. I very much like the start to the Edmonton game. It was really intense on both sides. The defense was I think doing what they wanted to do. I think we have some lapses and we aren't playing that full 60 minutes. So you know, it's some attention to the little details and execution to improve on that. And are you going to Toronto? It's a you know, you look at that team, it's a balanced attack. It's got good goal, you know, they got good goaltending and strong defense. So, you know, it sounds cliche, but it's we need the attention to detail and a full 60-minute effort from our guys. To answer the second part, we're not going to push a panic button, you know, anytime soon. I don't think we got a lot of faith in our group, and we want to, you know, move forward with them. So, you know, we take it, you know, you hear guys talk shift by shift. We take it sort of week by week, and so we're not pushing any panic buttons just yet.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys. We still have another couple of minutes here, so we'll keep them for more questions for Calgary at Toronto.
Yes, John Lovell. Actually, this is Bob Chavez again. You guys, Toronto is 1-0 now in guaranteed win night. Any more guarantees planned for the future?
I hope not. a little stressful. Actually, you know, I didn't care very much for it, but it certainly created a lot of buzz in the city, and I think we got more media attention in the last couple of days leading up to that game than we ever have. So in terms of marketing, I guess it was successful. In terms of, you know, coaching team getting ready, I don't think it's something I want to deal with all the time.
Okay, thanks, John, and thanks for that question, Bob. Do you have any final questions for Roughnecks at Rock? All right, big thanks to go ahead. Oh, maybe not. So I want to thank Mike Board and Sean Evans from the Roughnecks and John Lowell from the Rock, guys. Thanks for jumping on the call as always, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, last but not least, on the NLL Week 5 Coaches and Players Media Conference call schedule, we're going to talk the Colorado Mammoth at Vancouver Stealth, 10 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday night, rematch of Week 4 matchup. Quickly check in to see if we have coaches and players from both sides. Do we have Mammoth coach Chris Gill?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks, Chris. And do we have Mammoth forward John Grant Jr.?
Hello?
I'm checking in to see if we have Junior on the call.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Thanks, John. And jump back over to the Stealth. Do we have head coach Dan Perrell?
Yes, I'm on.
Thank you, Dan. And defenseman Chris O'Doherty.
Yes, we do.
Awesome. We'll start with Chris Gill in Colorado. I guess just talk about you know, a convincing win against Vancouver at home. You know, undefeated start, the last remaining team to boast an unbeaten record. You know, and its schedule would have it right back in Vancouver for a rematch this weekend.
Yeah, as far as the undefeated part, we only worry about what we can control, and that's our game. So what the other teams in the league are doing, well, it's nice, but it's out of our control. Last week's game was probably our most complete game of the year. But there's still some sloppy play that we can clean up. But I know Vancouver is going to be a lot different this week. I played with some of those players and coached with some of them, and there's a lot of character and pride over there. So I'm positive that we're going to see a different team this week and a different game. So we're looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks, Chris. And we'll jump back over to the Stealth. We have head coach Dan Perreault. Dan, obviously, you know, a tough go at the Pepsi Center this past weekend, but, you know, a chance to get home in front of the LEC and, you know, LEC's fans and, you know, kind of right the ship here in the West Division.
Yeah, obviously it was a very disappointing result, but, you know, full credit to Colorado. They, you know, they played well. So we're anxious. Yeah, it's a great opportunity, you know, a week later, get back home. And, you know, it's how we recover. And so we're looking forward to it, to get back at it.
Thanks, Dan. And, you know, after a loss, you know, 10-plus goals, what kind of adjustments are you guys looking to make? Is it really, you know, a little bit of both defense, offense, transition? Is it sort of all areas? Were there certain areas where you identified that the team needs to improve and quickly?
Yeah, you know, we broke it down in different areas. We first quarter we were playing well. You know, even starting the second at 4-4 game, and then you know, we turned the ball over, and the ball, you know, those turnovers turned into goals. So Colorado got on a 5-goal run. So, you know, we have to stop runs. We have to find ways to score goals and stop runs. And the biggest thing, you know, 26 turnovers in a game, and, you know, like three of them turned into goals. So those are costly. You know, we're looking at that. Obviously, our faceoffs have to be better. And with the turnovers is ball possession, and with Colorado, they've got you know, the best offense in the league right now. They're rolling along, so we you know, we turn the ball over, we put it in their sticks, and say their offense is firing on all cylinders, and you know, we're giving them great opportunities to put the ball in the net. So, you know, we've got to look at that, and then obviously we've got to look at tightening up our defense, and I think we're playing on our heels a little too much, and we've got to get a little more aggressive.
Thanks, Dan. I'm going to talk to the players. We have defenseman, stealth defenseman Chris O'Doherty on the call. Chris, just looking at the results here, you know, Vancouver has allowed at least 14 goals in all four games. It's got to be a key point of emphasis for the team to sort of limit the other team's opportunities. You guys saw Colorado last week. What kind of adjustments do you think you guys can make to kind of close the gap on that?
I'm just going to echo what Coach Dan said. I think we got to play a little more aggressive, maybe dictate more of the game for them and not let them dictate it to us, and control the pace of play. And, you know, I think just giving them less opportunity with us turning the ball over, playing a more complete game of, you know, your offense can be your best defense there. So then I guess we can push the pace of them and, you know, just change, and hopefully I can be a spark going back off the IR.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. We're going to jump back over to the Mammoth. We have forward John Grant Jr. on the call. Junior, I guess talk about the excitement in Colorado. It's been, you know, probably some time since you guys have had such a good start. There's got to be a lot of momentum and positive energy in the locker room.
Yeah, like Coach Gill said, we're not really worried about records or anything like that. We're worried about each game as it comes. And, you know, we had a pretty good game in Colorado, but as he said, we've got a team on the other side of Vancouver that's, you know, obviously going to be coming at us after that game. So we're going to have our hands full, and all we're really focused on right now is the game at the LEC and not worried about anything else. You know, this team's been here before with hot starts, and we've had cold ones, so it doesn't really matter. Focus on the game at hand, and that's what we're going to focus on right now.
Okay. Thanks, John. At this point, we're going to open up for questions from the media. Again, we have Chris Gill and John Grant Jr. on from the Mammoth, and Dan Perreault and Chris O'Doherty on from the Stealth.
Yeah, for Dan. Dan, it's Kevin McCullough from the Stealth. Just give us your thoughts on goaltending so far this year. I know T. Rich obviously would like to have a few goals back for sure, and he hasn't looked, you know, as I know he was definitely very motivated after last season. Just give us your overall thoughts, and I know it's can't really blame all of it on him with the injuries banged up, Coach, but just, your thoughts overall on the back end and defense goaltending so far.
Yeah, well, I'll start with goaltending, and T. Rich, I'm sure he'll admit that, you know, he has to be a little bit better. But overall, I'm certainly not going to pin it on our goalies, you know, Eric or T-Rich. You know, last game, you look at some of the looks they had. They were just naked looks right on the crease. So, you know, we've got to tighten up our defense. So I'm certainly saying not pinning it on goaltending when you look at our goals against. So defensively, yeah, you know, I'm not going to make excuses, but we, you know, we've had three injuries, and, you know, the three fellas that we put in, they did a good job, but just a matter of reps, and they didn't, you know, get the reps at camp and that. But, you know, we're anxious to get OD back in the lineup this week. And, you know, overall, you know, our compete level just has to be better. And defensively, you know, working on a couple of things that we're going to have to tighten up on the back end. So, you know, I think I feel good about it. They're going to be better this week, and you know, as a result, you know, sometimes, you know, it's goaltending and defense works hand in hand together.
I'll just go with one more here while I got you, Dan. You know, awesome. You can ask for a better start there. 3-1, second quarter, Creed scores to make it 4-3. You know, after that, it was all Colorado. What changed after that 4-3 mark, Dan?
We started turning the ball over, and once you start turning the ball over, you know, it's in Colorado's sticks, and like I said, they've got a very, very good offense, as far as you know, we needed the ball. We needed some shots. We needed some goals, and we didn't have the ball. And our defense was on the floor way too much. And as a result, like you say, you know what happened with the D. Well, you know, they're on the floor way too much. So they're getting a little gassed, and it's the turnovers that resulted in goals, and we're going to have to value the ball a lot better this week.
Okay, thanks, guys. We'll keep it open for more questions for Colorado at Vancouver.
Question for John.
This is Bob Schmitz at Island Door. I noticed the team. The Mammoth as a team is shooting like very, very well. I think it's 27%. What is that a sign of? Is that a sign of, you know, obviously good shot selection, or teammates clearing lanes and everything just working well together?
Well, I mean, we worked really hard in the off season of changing our schemes offensively, not having the ball on just one stick and relying on six or seven guys and not just a couple. And I think this weekend more than any of the others, it showed. I mean, we had three or four guys with three or four goals, and at any given point, we've got guys that can put the ball in the net, and we're getting great contributions from the D end as far as goal scoring as well. So, we're a pretty well-balanced group right now, and, obviously guys are shooting very well, and they're pretty confident shooting. So, hopefully that can continue, but like you said, we can always change, and we just got to keep focused on what we need to do to get better each week, and I think that's what kind of our mindset has been so far.
Okay. Thanks, guys. We've still got another couple minutes here. We'll keep room for any final questions for Colorado at Vancouver.
Well, this question's for Coach Gill. Coach, this is Nick Sale on NLL.com. Defense and goaltending look absolutely outstanding last week from the press box, but how much credit do you give them for your performance last week, and how much of that is going to be key with your team's game plan this week?
Well, we pride ourselves on our defense. We might have some of the best offensive players that have played, but defense wins championships. We all know that. So for them to do what they've done, we weren't super ecstatic about letting in 13, 14, or 15 goals the first couple games there, but they really bared down this week, and a lot of it has to do with, not turning the ball over on transition or on the offense, and really letting our D get out there as a five-man unit and do what they do best. Saying that, it takes, five guys to sprint off the floor from the offensive end just to get our D guys out there. So as much as we're happy with our D and our goaltending, it's a total team effort that way. And it can't change this week. And if anything, it has to be better. That's what we're kind of striving for, is every game getting better and every shift getting better. And, all those cliches, you toss them all into one, and that's what we want to be, better every game.
Okay, thanks, Chris, and thank you for that question. Nick, do we have any final questions for Mammoth itself?
I wonder if Mr. Perreault could tell us the status of Rory Smith, who hasn't been heard of since taking a high sticking penalty at the end of game one.
Yeah, Rory's real close to come back, and we're taking that day by day. So, he's, like I said, he's day to day here, and he's real close to coming back.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Thanks, Neil. Any final questions? Okay, I want to thank Chris Gill and John Grant Jr. from the Mammoth, and Dan Perreault and Chris O'Doherty from the South for jumping on the call here. Guys, good luck, and we'll be watching on Saturday night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.